Welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Devin.
And we're back together.
In person.
In person.
It's so much better.
It's so much fun. It's funny because my boyfriend was like, you always start the podcast by talking about how much you have to talk about.
Right.
And now I feel like our new thing is just to talk about how we get to be in person Yay! All the time.
That's actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty true.
Yeah. So, Devin, do you want to go through everything we're going to go through today? Which, sure. Of course, sorry, boyfriend, is a packed show
again. It's a packed show. I mean,
this is just, there are no lies.
This is what we do now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to start with some listener feedback and Patreon updates.
Yeah.
And since it's the end of the month, our $10 and up supporters get a shout out.
Woohoo!
Next, we're gonna go into Trump and GOP bullshit.
Yeah, it's not just Trump bullshit. I mean, there's always GOP bullshit.
But right.
Like, there's more GOP bullshit this time.
Than there normally is.
Yeah.
And then we are going to talk about immigration and some of the issues that are arising around immigration. And then we're gonna go into our gratitude and sanity check.
Come down a little bit. I like putting it there.
Yeah, because then we've been talking about all this shit.
And then we come down from
right.
it. We feel a little bit better about life.
Exactly. And then we are going to go into the Maxine Waters update and the Maxine Waters Award in badassery.
And as you guys might imagine, Maxine definitely like wins times 10 this week, but we also have other people who win and just so many fierce women.
Yeah. Although I'm not going to lie, I did lobby to just have Maxine Waters win her own award.
And I told Devin, I'm not mad at that, but also I want to honor these other women. So.
Completely agree.
All right, let's go into some listener feedback, which we always love.
I know.
I just love it so much. So we got some good feedback on our audio last week. You guys, we just always revel when our audio is good.
Oh, man, because it's been such a mystical journey.
It's been a journey. I definitely feel like it's not only is it more fun to do it in person when we can, but I definitely feel like it helps.
It just sounds better. It
sounds better all around. Devin also had lunch with one of our listeners who is an audio engineer named Tina.
Yes.
You want to tell us how that all went?
Yeah, it was awesome. So she lives farther south, but she was in Los Angeles for work. Mm-hmm. And so we met up and we had a great lunch.
Aww.
We talked. Yeah, it was great. We talked about being pissed off feminists.
Oh,
and
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
I missed it. I was on a deadline, guys, as I always am.
Right. and dickwads. We talked about dickwads.
Of course.
And audio issues. And she graciously offered to help if we ever get stuck on audio stuff.
Ugh.
So honestly, thank you for being so awesome, Tina. Like, I had such a great time.
Yeah, and just, I feel like all of our listeners are just so awesome.
So awesome. We get so much, like, positive, like,
constructive. We just love you guys.
We
so
really
much.
Do.
We're going to start crying.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of awesome, I think we got our first instance of fan art.
I know. I think we did.
Okay. So at Grouchy Lib, which I just love that Twitter handle, she tweeted at us and she drew like a really pretty pattern with with dickwad in big letters, which is just literally, that's like our aesthetic.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that would be a coloring book I would do.
Rose petals and dickwads.
Yeah. Exactly. Did we just get a new slogan?
I know. Yeah. It was amazing. If you guys want to see it, check out our Twitter feed. We retweeted the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica also tweeted at us. So if you remember the last episode, we talked about some congressional races. Mm-hmm. One of them was a race in LA, the California 34th District. We highlighted a woman named Alejandro Campoverde, and she said, "More love for Jimmy Gomez, please. He's one of the favorites. She said he's endorsed by Planned Parenthood, Sierra Club, etc. Good for the environment and great for women."
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a great candidate.
Thumbs up.
We need non-dickwad men out there.
We really do.
It's great. But, you know, I think for us, we're always going to amplify and talk about qualified liberal women on this podcast.
When
that's an option, because Congress is 19% women.
Yeah.
And that needs to be like 50 or above.
And it's even worse for women of color.
Exactly.
So like, yay. I'm glad that there's a non-dickwad man. And if he wins, great.
Great.
We need more non-dickwad men.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we can start to change the quota. And,
absolutely.
You know, for us, we just, like Devin said, we just really want to amplify women.
Right. And then another one of our listeners, Canuck Stevens.
At Canuck Stevens,
at yes. Canuck Stevens, said, quote, United deserved a dishonorable mention, but don't let Delta off the hook for the shit they pulled with Muslim passengers.
Yes. So if you guys remember, last week we gave United a dishonorable mention because their bullshit policy on, mm-hmm. like, girls wearing leggings. And so we had referenced a Delta tweet. They're like, hey, you guys can wear whatever you want.
Right.
And rightly so, he's like, hey, Delta's been kind of a piece of shit, too.
It's true.
And also one of our Twitter faves, Imani, she's at Angry Black Lady. She also tweeted at Delta. She said, do you really want to be she said, do you really want to be smug after tossing Muslims off your planes and pretending black women can't be doctors?
No. Yeah.
Well, point well taken.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't remember that Delta was that airline.
Right.
I remember those stories. I didn't remember Delta.
Well, I also think that's a testament to Delta's PR, like, prowess.
I guess. I don't know. But you guys, thank you for keeping us honest.
Please.
Because I should have that more in the top of my mind and associate that.
Right.
So, Delta, you don't get off the hook.
Yeah, Delta, fuck off. You're a dickwad.
Okay, so lastly,
yay!
We want to shout out to our March patrons on Patreon, mm-hmm. who donated $10 or more a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reward.
Yes.
You get a shout out on our podcast at the end of the month,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to put you on the website.
Yes. I've been trying to keep up with it, but most of these names are already on the website on our support page.
Okay, so let's go through everyone.
Yes.
So Catherine Markova, Doug Farrar,
Cassie Melman Rees,
Crystal Nanavati,
Sarah Cummins,
Allie Cater,
Stephanie Crone,
Robin Flam,
Kristen Allen Vogel,
Amy Reeves,
Britton Forsyth,
Laura Silverstein, who is my mom.
Sarah's mom.
Thank you, Mom.
Melissa Dean.
Lauren McCoy.
Sarah Harrington.
And then Nick Schnebel.
Yes.
So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
We doubled and triple checked to make sure we got everyone. If we didn't get you, please tell
Let us know.
And we will atone for our sins.
We will.
All right, Devin, as always, we talk about Trump land and now GOP, of course.
Just bullshit.
You guys, again, we can't come up with better titles
because really
this
can't.
Is just our lives now.
Oh, I know. I think I called it horseshit once.
Yes, variations are acceptable. So the first thing we want to talk about, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but there was a Washington Post article a couple days ago about how the Trump administration sought to block Sally Yates from testifying to Congress on Russia.
Right.
So basically what happened is the DOJ notified Yates earlier this month that the administration, so the Trump administration, considers her possible testimony, including stuff around Michael Flynn and conflicts with the Russian ambassador. They said they considered it to be off limits in a congressional hearing because the topics are, quote, covered by attorney-client privilege or the presidential communication privilege.
I mean, are they? I don't know.
So Sally Yates' lawyer was basically like, this is bullshit.
Okay.
This is like an overbroad concept or application. He also said, like, you guys have talked about this shit in public.
Right.
So, like, why can't we get Sally Yates's side?
You've basically canceled your own privilege by talking about it.
Yeah. And so this is interesting because both Yates and Brennan, who I believe was the former CIA director,
yes.
they had made it clear to government officials that their testimony to the committee would probably contradict some of the statements that the White House had made.
Right, which I'm sure is why they don't want her to testify.
Well, then, right, like you, like, then Nunes, which I...
Oh, okay.
Nunes. Which, by the way, a lot of our listeners said it's Nunes or Nunes, not Nunez.
Oh, okay.
So Nunes.
Nunes.
Which I believe is correct, canceled the hearing that was scheduled.
Right.
What a coincidence.
What? And he said that he canceled the hearing to first hear from Comey in a classified setting, but that session was also canceled.
You guys, Nunes is bad at being a shitty motherfucker.
He's really bad at it.
And we're going to go into that in our next story.
Yes. Okay. So, yes, speaking of Nunes being a shady motherfucker.
Yeah, did you see this New York Times article that just came out today?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so basically a pair of White House officials, which several current American officials have identified as Ezra Cohen Watnick, the mm-hmm. senior director for intelligence at the NSC, and Michael Ellis, a lawyer who works on national security issues at the White House's office, he formerly worked on the staff of the House Intelligence Committee, so they have been identified as Nunes's sources.
Right.
They were the people that Nunes had apparently received intel about Trump being caught up in surveillance.
Right, right. And they were the people that were giving him information to then bring to that weird press conference
that he had
been, quote, incidentally surveilled, which was weird.
Yeah, and so basically the... And this is, I think, what Nunes has counted on. There's a very nuanced distinction between, you know, fucking Obama wiretapping Trump, which Comey's like, didn't fucking happen.
Yeah, calm down.
And then what might have happened, which is incidental surveillance. So sometimes, intelligence officials will be surveying foreign officials.
Right, and they'll catch,
if Trump is involved with the conversation, they incidentally catch that. And this New York Times story says... It consisted primarily of ambassadors and other foreign officials talking about how they're trying to develop contacts within the Trump family and inner circle.
Right.
And as we know, Nunes has refused to identify the sources, but this New York Times story says who the two people are. Interestingly enough, these officials' description of the intelligence is in line with Nunes' own characterization of the material, which he said was not related to the Russia investigation. So he was kind of, I think, trying to walk it back.
Right.
He was like, people are like, wait, are you saying that Obama wiretapped Trump for Russia stuff? And he was no. But I think he was trying to count on that to, confuse people.
Right, right. Well, and then Nunes said he had to go brief the White House.
Yeah, so this story, people are like... Nunes has been caught in a lie.
Right.
Because, so one of our faves, RVA Wonk, you guys should follow her on Twitter. She was, after she read this story, she said, reminder, Nunes claimed he had to, quote, go brief the White House on this intel that he got from the White House.
Right, these from are White House sources. Right.
And another thing that was weird about Nunes's story is he said, well, I needed to go find a secure room, so that's why I went to the White House.
Okay.
But they can do that elsewhere.
Yes,
they don't need to go to the White House. Mm-hmm. And B, if he were to have gone to the White House, he would have had to get someone to escort him there. And there's no evidence that happened. And also, what's weird about that is that the White House isn't producing any visitor logs, which is something that they've always done.
Yeah.
But of course, the Trump administration is
blowing up
norms left and right. So RVA Wonk also said, she basically said, this New York Times report on Nunes confirms the entire timeline of events, i.e., Devin Nunes coordinated with the White House to shield Trump, and then he lied about it.
Right, right.
So that's basically what this New York Times article is sort of further confirming almost.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because... You know, I think you're right. I think he was counting on it being confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he didn't think he'd get caught.
And if it's not already clear, I mean, it seems just like he's shielding the White House.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting because I was watching, I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell, The Last Word, the other night. And John McLaughlin, who's a former acting director of the CIA, he basically said, our oversight is completely compromised.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing him, but he's it is completely broken down. And again, we need a fucking independent investigation.
Come on, guys.
Because Nunes, not only is he being a shady motherfucker, as we talked about last episode, he's not even good at being a shady motherfucker.
Exactly.
He's fucking everything up.
I mean, he's blown up his own credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs to step down and recuse himself, and there needs to be just a completely separate investigation.
And so, interestingly enough, this kind of dovetails into the Senate Intelligence Committee had a hearing this morning. So the stuff we gathered was from earlier. We could have missed some stuff that has been happening. Again, RVA Wonk is a great person to follow.
She's
on this shit. So we learned a few interesting things. Do you want to go through some of the things we learned, Devin?
Yes. So former FBI agent Clinton Watts says that his biggest fear isn't Putin, but that his own government doesn't have his back, which is just a stunning indictment of the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said, quote, follow the trail of dead Russians.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, there's just been all these weird instances of people sort of closely affiliated to Russian money or Russian government who are just show up dead.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, just, ugh, it's creepy.
It's really creepy. Watts also said that Russia hacked, quote, thousands of U.S. officials, so Democrats and Republicans alike, and they will use this information against them.
Yeah. And, you know, and Watts was told this committee that the media really aided this, like, Russian operative op, basically, yeah, by falling for this information, disinformation, and then publishing it.
Yeah, so, like, we talked about the other day how Maggie Haberman's like, well, Hillary Clinton just didn't talk about it enough. It's like, no, you guys are just fucking idiots.
Idiots, and you fell for it. I mean, they were counting.
Yeah, and like our friend RVA Wonk said in a thread about it, it's like, you guys already fell for it because you're fucking naive, basically. Mm-hmm. Don't fall for it again because you're so arrogant not to learn from your mistakes, which I find is a big weakness in the political media as a whole. It's like they're insanely critical of everyone but themselves.
Exactly. And they pick odd hills to die on, as it were.
Literally hills.
Literally hills.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary That's Clinton a Hillary to die Clinton on. Pun. Just so we're clear.
Just so we're clear. Yeah, he also, we also heard from Ron Wyden, Senator Ron Wyden, who I believe is represents Oregon. He said information about Trump's financial activities may lead directly to Russia.
Right, which I think we all kind of feel or know.
But to hear like a sitting senator to like say it in a committee hearing.
Well, but then the Ways and Means Committee again voted down a measure that would force Trump to release his taxes.
For the third time.
For the third time. So that's three?
Three times. Ugh. So along party lines, Republicans again, like, like, what do you have to hide?
Right, right.
You know, if it was Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, they would have, like, already gone through that. The last thing that I found really interesting is that, so our senator, Dianne Feinstein, you know, she's been in office for a while. She says the intelligence community report on Russian interference, which came out sort of not too long after the election.
Right, right.
She said that's one of the strongest she has ever seen in 16 years on the committee.
Yeah.
So you guys, there's a lot of shit there, and we are barely scratching the surface. Nunes is acting like a shitty motherfucker. They're not letting Sally Yates testify. Like,
They won't release Trump's tax returns. They won't force him to release his tax returns.
So it's still drip, 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 drip. But I don't know. I just feel like we're getting closer.
We're definitely circling in, and you can tell that they're scared because they're starting to close ranks.
Yep. So kind of on a semi-related note.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Trump's sort of like, who is he really tied to?
Yeah.
This feels very like proto-fascism, like on our way to authoritarianism. Another sign of that is fucking Ivanka Trump and her role in the Trump administration.
Well, and this is another thing. Okay, so let's talk about what's happening.
Yeah.
So basically, Ivanka Trump, who was given an office in the West Wing and security clearance with no actual job title.
Right.
They're now saying that she will be a federal government employee. She will be unpaid.
But she's unpaid, which is like,
weird.
It's weird.
But basically, by being an employee with the office and she's seeking security clearance, but she will be subject to the same ethical concerns that all the other federal employees are subject
to. Yeah, so that's at least something. Her lawyer said she will file financial disclosure forms.
And conflict of interest forms.
Yeah, that's required of federal employees and that she will be bound by the same ethics laws. Because before, she was like, I'll volunteer. And people were like,
No, bitch.
And she put out a statement about that as well. So now we have Ivanka, who I guess her title is assistant to the president, which is just such like a female.
It's such a...
Like her husband gets to be a senior advisor, but she's an assistant.
Assistant, right.
But that aside, this is just all very concerning.
Well, and this is skating really close, if not violating nepotism laws.
Which the Trump administration has said does not apply to the White House,
which is
not a federal agency. It's like, it's literally the federal agency.
And so this is also an instance of, if they're not violating these nepotism laws, they're at least blowing up another norm.
Oh, like, totally.
Accepted.
Yeah, it's not unusual for, you know, relatives of the family to, you know, to be sort of giving advice.
Sure.
But there's never really been, there's been very few instances, if at all, of them having formal roles.
Right. Well, and what's really interesting, too, is that Ivanka put out a statement, or her team did, that basically said, we are pleased that Ivanka Trump has chosen to take this step in her unprecedented role as first daughter and in support of the president. So, first of all, first daughter, not a thing.
No.
It's not a thing. And I feel like it would be one thing if they put her in the first lady's office.
Which would still be kind of weird.
It would be weird, but it wouldn't be unheard of.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There have been other presidents that have had...
First daughters? Being the first lady's office?
People other than their wives act as first lady.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Not in modern times.
Right.
But it has happened. If the president is single mm-hmm. or his wife dies while in office...
That makes sense.
A daughter or niece mm-hmm. in one case will mm-hmm. take over. But I... First of all, just side tangent here. Mm-hmm. I also think the first lady should be paid.
Right. That's like a whole other thing. And we're not even getting into Melania. But actually, I think what's most concerning to yes. me is the fact, so, you know, Ivanka has said that she has like stepped down from day-to-day operations right. of her company. And then this report says that she had put her brother-in-law and her brother-in-law's wife in charge of her trust.
Right.
But that she has veto power. And right. it's like, but this still isn't a blind trust, which right. is what...
You're supposed to do
to really eliminate any doubts about that. The other thing that was really creepy to me about this is the article mentioned that Ivanka and Jared, quote, provide the moderate political ballast against which an economic national wing, which is total and utter bullshit.
It's just bullshit.
Like, they're not, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, they're just, as the SNL, you know, skit was, they're complicit.
Right. Complacent.
Complicit.
The scent of patriarchy everywhere.
And just, like, enabling this yeah. bigoted agenda. So, I don't know. This is just another fucking norm that yeah. is breaking down.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people are more concerned that Chelsea Clinton has written a children's book than they are that Ivanka Trump is, like... doing this
weird
bananas, like immoral, probably unethical thing.
Right. So just a weird story.
Yeah. The other thing that we want to talk about in terms of the Trump administration, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but there was a report that the 2020 census won't collect sexual orientation and gender identity data.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things, again, it just kind of slips under the radar.
Because so much is going on, and it's,
right.
but it's so important because, you know, according to the National LGBTQ Task Force, an earlier version of the proposed mm-hmm. 2020 census contained information for questions surrounding gender identity and sexual orientation, but then a new modified version of the proposal that was published a couple of days ago omitted those categories.
Right. And this is really important because mm-hmm. in order to fund programs or put policy in place to help certain groups, we need information on them. We need data.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't, you know, the census, I believe, has never had this included yet.
Right.
And people were pushing for
it. Yes.
Because the census is updated every 10 years. So people were pushing for it because, in essence, groups, like you said, get erased and they don't
yes.
get included in important legislative and economic purposes.
So absolutely.
Without these categories, it's really hard to have accurate data. And B, to create, implement, and update policies that affect this community.
Right, right. I mean, a lot of legislation relies heavily on census data.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. if your identity isn't included in mm-hmm. the census, you're not going to be part of that discussion.
Yep.
So
as actively, at least.
And as so, actively.
And that this kind of relates to another story that came
yes.
out of North Carolina. So the title of the article is North Carolina Strikes a Deal to Repeal the Restrictive Bathroom Law, which on the surface, you're like,
yay!
Yes, like they're going to finally get rid of that bullshit law.
Yeah.
But actually, this agreement or compromise is fucking bullshit.
It is bullshit.
Yeah, so... The North Carolina legislature is government controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Its new governor replaced the former Republican who basically signed this law.
Right.
He's a Democrat that barely won.
Right.
So as you guys might know, North Carolina lost out on a lot of business.
Yes.
For this law, like companies literally hashtag grabbed their wallet and
yeah.
were like, fuck you. We're not going to do business here,
mm-hmm.
which is like we've said, the way you spend your money is a big part of influencing.
Yeah. And free speech.
Your values
yeah.
and showing people like what pushing them to do things that you want to
right,
do.
Right.
So apparently it's reported that the NCAA
mm-hmm.
had pushed them to address this bill by mm-hmm. Thursday. I'm assuming they gave them some sort of a deadline if they
right.
wanted to reinstate some things.
Right.
And basically, you know, a lot of gay rights advocates gay rights and trans advocates raised objections because they said that this bill is a bad compromise and it would continue to allow discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, Roy Cooper said it's not a perfect deal, but it repeals HB2 and begins to repair our reputation, which I felt like was, I'm like, that signals to me what you felt like was most important.
Right, to say. Because there was another tweet, I believe, from Trad Griffin, the HRC president, the Human Rights Campaign president. He said, the HB2 deal is a statewide prohibition on equality that bans all cities and towns from passing non-discrimination protections. This quote-unquote deal does not repeal HB2.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply another version of HB2 dressed up in a way desperate lawmakers will hope will save the state's economy. Sorry.
Yeah, no, because North Carolina is a big basketball state.
Right.
Not only is the University of North Carolina big, but they also, the NBA All-Star game was pulled from them. The NCAA obviously had pulled games.
Right.
From them as well. And yeah, so another attorney for the ACLU said this is just the same discrimination repackaged.
Right.
So
they're just trying to get the sports teams to come back.
Yeah. So we don't know what the NCAA's response has been yet. Mm-hmm. Like they said, I think one of their spokespeople said they basically had some non-response.
Yeah.
So I'll be intrigued to see how they react, because that will be very telling.
Absolutely.
Because I would hope that they would say, no, we still stand by this. This is
right.
This doesn't go far enough. Like, you actually have to, like, repeal this shit.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah. So now let's talk about immigration.
Yeah. So this is obviously a story that I think we should just continue to keep our eyes on. But
Absolutely.
There was a couple of really notable things that caught my attention this week. So one of the stories that I saw was a dreamer named Daniel Ramirez Medina. He's set to be released after 6 weeks in ICE custody.
Mm-hmm.
His immigration case had drawn a lot of attention because he was arrested on February 10th during an ICE raid that initially targeted his father.
That's right. That's right.
And so his legal team said he would be released Wednesday, which I believe was this week, not next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So this story is just indicative of a larger issue that's happening, because there's a lot of dreamers.
Right. A lot of debate around what to do with dreamers and DACA in general.
Yeah. So the DREAM Act is a bill aimed to create a pathway to citizenship for undocumented children who grew up in the U.S., but it has been introduced a lot, but it has never passed.
Exactly.
But they call themselves dreamers, and a lot of them are, you know, have DACA protections.
Right. Basically, DACA is an immigration policy that allows certain immigrants who entered the country as minors to receive a renewable 2-year period of deferred action from deportation and the eligibility for a work permit.
Yeah, and basically, the Obama admin passed it in 2012, and they had sort of offered protections. But now with the Trump administration, there's a lot of questions about what's going to happen. And like we've seen with Daniel Ramirez Medina, and then also another DACA recipient and dreamer, Daniela Vargas, who was also arrested and she's since been released. And her case drew attention because she had spoken out about, you know, members of her family who were taken by ICE.
Right.
There's just so many questions around what's going to happen to people who are in these programs under the Trump administration, and it's really, really scary.
It is really scary, and you know, it becomes a problem because people, when they're afraid of ICE and being deported, they're less likely to report crimes. Sexual assault and domestic violence cases are especially impacted, like we saw.
Yeah, which actually, you know, in Los Angeles, our own police chief said that people aren't reporting sexual assault cases are down because people are scared of getting deported, basically.
Right.
And also I remember Cory Booker, you know, he used to be a mayor, and he was talking about totally how all those things play into each other. Like if the community doesn't feel like they can trust law enforcement or trust people who are supposed to enforce the law, then it actually leads to not as safe cities because people aren't reporting crimes.
And absolutely.
You just need that two-way trust and conversation.
Yes.
Continue to keep your eyes on those kind of stories and support your neighbors and community.
Yeah.
And I there's a great organization called United We Dream. Mm-hmm. They send really good text message updates about these cases. So I would definitely recommend people going on that website and signing up for text alerts.
Yes.
Kind of on a related note and very concerning and sad is a story out of the Washington Post about an undocumented immigrant who hung himself after 3 months in an ICE detention center.
Yeah, I mean... This is a really sad story.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a 32-year-old Nicaraguan man. Mm-hmm. Nicaraguan man.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the custody of ICE outside of Los Angeles, and he committed suicide after 3 months. And David Leopold, who's an immigration attorney, said that more than 165 immigrants have died in ICE custody since 2003.
Yeah. And, you know, we can't really know why this person committed suicide. You know, there could be a variety of factors, but if I were to guess, I would say it's just poor conditions in these facilities, because there's actually a class action lawsuit against one of the facilities that are contracted by ICE.
Right. That they're saying that they were forced to work and paid $1 a day, and they were forced with, or they were threatened with solitary confinement if they refused to work.
And this is out of Colorado, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think it's around... It addresses around like 60,000 people who had been detained overall in this facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I know that there's been a lot of articles about how being detained is just this kind of purgatory in a lot of ways.
And I don't know, this class action lawsuit also sounds a lot like Japanese internment camps.
Oh, really?
During World War II.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, they weren't paid at all, but I mean basically people were rounded up and put in detention centers and forced to work.
Well, and that's the thing, it's, you know, there's this element of we don't learn from history,
right?
That's incredibly frustrating.
Yes.
There was a really, really powerful speech in Sacramento the other day that a Holocaust survivor gave. He denounced the head of ICE, and so in Sacramento, the county sheriff Scott Jones, who was a Trump supporter, and acting ICE director Thomas Homan, they were addressing a crowd. Like, they wanted to have a dialogue.
Right.
And it's the first time the acting director has traveled to a city and partnered with local law enforcement.
Right.
And as you guys might know, the Trump administration, via Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who should have fucking resigned already, they pledged to crack down on illegal immigration as well as withhold federal funds from cities like Sacramento, like San Francisco, that offer sanctuary to undocumented immigrants, which sanctuary cities aren't perfect.
Right.
There's issues with that.
Of course.
Again, like, they're trying to crack down on cities that are trying to protect.
Right. Well, what's also interesting is that Homan, at this sort of speech, said that ICE was not interested in conducting raids or arresting people at schools or churches. He's like, we want people to go to church and to school and to work, which is a blatant lie because they have been arresting people at schools.
Yeah.
They have been conducting raids.
Yeah.
And so the sort of duplicity of their message and this just the basically gall it takes to have this sort of, like, I don't know, town hall meeting, I don't know what you would call it, and say that when it's just simply not true just...
Yeah, and this Holocaust survivor said, for no other reason, so he's talking about his experience, I was picked up and separated from my family who was exterminated in Auschwitz. And he said, don't forget, history is not on your side. I remember, so I'm Jewish, and so this kind of stuff always hits me really emotionally because, you know, my grandparents came over here from Poland, and I think that they left before Nazism really took hold, but still, like, it's very personal for me. And I remember a friend of mine was saying she felt like it was no coincidence that sort of Nazism was on the rise in the U.S. at a time when we barely have any living survivors of the Holocaust. And it goes back to just not learning from history and, you know, the people who could remind us of history dying out.
Yeah, yeah. So... Yeah. You know, so that is obvious. Those are some horrible stories.
Yeah.
But on a more uplifting note on the immigration.
Or at least optimistic.
Optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, a couple weeks ago, a Hawaiian judge blocked the travel ban. The Hawaiian AG, Attorney General Daniel Chin, brought about this case saying that it was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, this judge... extended the block against the travel ban and basically updated it and said, yep, nope, can't do it.
Remember, this is the second attempt at a travel ban.
Right.
It's already being struck down by courts via Hawaii so far.
Exactly. So this judge was basically like, yeah, this is still a Muslim ban. Mm-hmm. This is not a travel ban. This is a Muslim ban. Mm-hmm. And the Hawaiian AG, Daniel Chin, said, quote, "We cannot fault the president for being politically incorrect, but we do fault him for being constitutionally incorrect."
Damn. That is amazing.
It was so good. It also reinstates the refugee program, or at least removes the block on the refugee program.
Gotcha.
And the government, like the Trump administration, tried to argue that Hawaii had no standing in this matter because only 20 refugees have been relocated to Hawaii since 2010. But then the judge, Watson, responded, quote, "Is this a mathematical exercise that 20 isn't enough?" Ugh. What do I make of that?
I love this judge.
I know. This judge is so great.
So that's, again, that doesn't negate all the horrible things that are already happening. But it is somewhat optimistic to see our courts really fucking check our president in this administration when fucking no one else will.
Right.
All right, Devin, I love that we put the gratitude and sanity check here because I feel like we need it.
Yes.
So I'd love to hear from you. I know you try to keep it non-political on Thursdays, but what are your gratitude and sanity checks this time?
So I always cheat. my first one, though, is non-political. There are 69 new emojis coming in June.
Nice.
Including gender-neutral people, a woman in a headscarf, and zombies.
Zombies, yes.
Yeah, there's also going to be a vomit emoji, which I personally need in my life ASAP.
We really need it for now.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Sure.
So I would also like to point out that as a species, we've kind of come full circle. Like, we started with hieroglyphics and drawings and pictographs, and now my phone auto-corrects words back to pictographs.
You know what, though? I still have to make sure the iPhone lets me say fucking instead of ducking.
Yeah, ducking every time. But life is weird. I just wanted to point that out.
I love that.
Okay, so my next one is sort of weird, and it just pissed me off, so I'm going to talk about it.
Do it.
There was a study that was just published about breastfeeding. And it was a study in Ireland of 7,500 children. And it was a long-term study because in order to do breastfeeding studies, you have to follow them over a period of years. And basically what they found was that there's really no statistical difference between kids who are breastfed versus kids that aren't. But what made me angry is that... in the LA Times, the headline for this article started with, "Breast is still best."
Oh, God.
And I'm like, how is that allowed to be the headline?
On so many levels.
Right, of an article that says almost the exact opposite.
They just wanted to make that pun.
And I hate that pun. And
It feels a little vaguely over-sexualized.
Exactly.
Too.
And it's also, look... as someone who did not breastfeed, because I didn't fucking want to, I used to get shit like, "Why would you do that to your baby?" And, "Do you not care about your baby's well-being?" Ugh. And, "You're just hurting your baby's future." All the time. To which I said, "No, I clearly do not care about my baby."
Also, I feel like mothers get judged so harshly for everything. And actually, there's someone close to me. She breastfed her first child. She can't breastfeed her second kid because she's like going through chemo. Like she has cancer. Like there are reasons, and it doesn't have to be as extreme as cancer. There are reasons why people choose to do something or not. Like you just have to let them, you're not hurting anyone.
Yeah. I mean, so the reason I couldn't breastfeed is because I have bipolar 2 disorder. I take serious medication.
And it would just go through your system.
Go through my system and it would be in my breast milk. But honestly, that is my secondary reason because I wasn't going to do it either way.
Yeah. Like, again, women should be able to make their own decisions without people fucking like inserting themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. So that just pissed me off. So wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
And then
not so much a gratitude and sanity check as I need to fucking rant.
Vent a little bit.
Also, this is a great space
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Yeah. And so my last one is there is a German photographer. I'm going to butcher her name. It is Herlind Hobel.
That's pretty good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And she started this project in 1990, and she wanted to explore how power changes people physically and mentally.
Oh.
And so she recruited people in, like, the upper levels of the German government, including then-Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder. But what is interesting is that in 1990, she started photographing Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel. Yes.
And she has taken Merkel's picture every year since 1990.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's beautiful.
Oh.
And it's super interesting just the way,
her face changed,
her stance, what she's wearing. She does two pictures in every session, one of her face, like a bust portrait, and one of the way she stands.
Interesting. I love that.
Yeah. And then I really liked this one quote. However exposed and however meteoric her rise, Merkel wears almost the same shy grin in Kobel's annual photographs. It's a reminder that while some things change, others stay the same.
Oh, I love that.
It was great. It's a beautiful, just beautiful piece.
We'll put it up on hellbentpodcast.com so you guys can see it. And also so I can take a deep dive into it.
It's gorgeous.
So cool.
Yeah, and she continues to, this photographer takes Merkel's picture every year.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah, so what are your gratitude and sanity checks?
So mine always geared to the political side.
I know.
And I just can't hide it, guys. This is what I'm thinking about all the time. So the first thing that I'm grateful for is the hashtag Black Women at Work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into this later in our Maxine Waters update and award. But it was a hashtag that emerged after journalist April Ryan and, of course, our favorite representative, the Honorable Maxine Waters, were fucking disrespected by two dickwad men. One of them, Sean Spicer. The other one, O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Sorry. I'm like, whatever. Yeah. Whatever that fucking dickwad's
name is. Don't Google
it.
It's not important.
So it was started by activist Brittany Packnett.
Mm.
So she, after this happened, she was like, share your stories.
Right.
Yeah, and I just appreciated the stories that these women shared.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is so horrible.
It is.
It's so horrible, and it's just another reminder of how far society still has to go for women of color especially.
Yeah.
I also love that Hillary Clinton defended April Ryan and Maxine Waters in a speech she gave that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just a reminder, so I would definitely, if I were you, go through the hashtag Black Women at Work feed on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these women who have shared their stories, they often have, like, PayPal links in their Twitter bios. So if you feel inclined to compensate them, if you learn something, compensate them for their labor and education, just like another reminder of that.
Absolutely.
So, I'm just really grateful to learn from women and to be pushed to be better.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I'm grateful for, did you see the story about USA women's hockey?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so if you guys don't know this, they had a big labor dispute with the hockey association, and they really showed female athletes, as well as just the labor movement overall, like what winning looks like.
Right.
So they threatened to boycott the world championships, and they ended up reaching a deal like 70 hours before the championships were set to take place. And
that's one hell of a game of chicken, by the way.
It really is.
By the hockey league.
What I loved especially is that the U.S. men's hockey team also apparently threatened to boycott in a show of solidarity. And it's like, we need men to step up like that.
Exactly.
Because there's a dispute right now with U.S. women's soccer about pay equality. Oh. And the men have been like, They've maybe said some things, but they haven't really done anything.
Right. They haven't put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Yeah. They also had the support. I think it helped. They had this, like, movement, and then they had the support of 16 senators. So here's some of the things they won.
Mm-hmm.
So the wages, which before were like a four-figure... Yeah, they were like full-time professional athletes, but they're paid part-time, basically.
What?
Will now be $70,000 per year with bonus opportunities. They also, for the first time, their travel accommodations and insurance will be equal to men.
What?
Yeah.
Just now?
The new deal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there will finally, I think this is really, really important. I've heard this is really, really important for the women. There will finally be a committee aimed at development and promotion of women's hockey.
Good. There needs to be.
You know, I don't know. I could go on forever. I used to work in sports. I used to play soccer. A lot of things that are happening with women's sports mirror a lot of the imbalances in society,
absolutely,
as you would imagine. Yeah. So, anyway, good job, USA Women's Hockey.
Woo!
Like, fight the good fight.
Yeah.
And I just love that. The last thing I'm grateful for are people pushing back against Bernie Sanders' dick watery. God. You guys, like we said on our last podcast, we want to be able to be on Bernie Sanders' side.
Seriously.
But he just won't stop acting like a dickwad.
Seriously.
Okay, so if you guys didn't see this, it didn't get a lot of news coverage,
right.
Which I'm like, oh, that white male privilege can just say some, like, banana shit, and it's totally fine.
Well, and then I think also it's like Trump is so extreme that anything that's not that extreme is like, oh,
that's not that bad.
Not so bad.
No. Nope.
It's bad.
It's bad. Okay.
It's bad.
So he's back at it again,
good.
Throwing women under the bus.
Great.
He was asked on Morning Joe if, like, future Democratic candidates had to be, quote, rigidly pro-choice and or pro-gun control. And he said, no. He said, I don't think so.
Ugh.
I just motherfucking can't with him anymore, okay? Like, all caps motherfucking can't. Like, okay, first of all, he said Planned Parenthood was, quote unquote, establishment. Then he said abortion is a distraction from the real issues. Then he said, now he's saying pro-choice stances are basically optional. It's like, just admit you don't really give a fuck about women.
Seriously. Like own it. If you're going to be a shitty person,
yeah,
own it.
Yeah. And, like, of course this happened on hashtag Pink Out Day from Planned Parenthood.
Why wouldn't it?
Which I'll get into, because there's other issues around that. But, you know, I'm just sick of white guys, liberal, leftist, white guys acting like reproductive justice is a secondary issue.
Right.
Especially because it intersects so heavily with economics.
Right.
Research has shown again and again that abortion restrictions punish poor women the most.
The most.
So, like, yo, if you really care about economics, you need to care about motherfucking abortion.
Absolutely.
And choice, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, you want to go on and on about college debt? Like, why don't you really think through some of these issues that you're speaking out your ass on?
That's been my problem a lot with Bernie, like, in terms of domestic economic issues. Mm-hmm. I find that he doesn't put together lot of intersecting issues.
Not even close.
I just don't feel like he has the range on that. But like I said, all this bullshit happened on hashtag Pink Out Day, which was a show of support for Planned Parenthood, because of course it did. And this is all happening, this is just literally in the last couple days, in the midst of, one, Kentucky's very last abortion clinic is suing to stay open. That story just came out today.
Ugh.
Two, an Iowa lawmaker said yesterday, like, she embraced forcing women to carry dead fetuses to term.
Okay. Okay. Let me just say, if a fetus is dead, there is no term.
If you miscarry, how do you carry that to term? Isn't that dangerous to the mother?
Yeah, that's basically just an infection waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That just spells infection.
Yeah. And then the third thing, and this is just things that I saw.
Right.
I could be totally missing things.
Totally.
But this was just the other day, too. The governor of Arkansas signed a bill that says doctors must demand partial medical histories from women seeking abortions. So I'm like, Bernie, like, this is the difference between being a supporter,
right,
and being a champion.
Yes.
I don't fucking care what your NARAL record is.
Yeah.
Like, if you're saying that being pro-choice is basically optional, like, I'm going to go tell you to go fuck yourself. And I just want to read some tweets. My sister said, Bernie's flexible stance on pro-choice candidates is proof that ideological purity tests on the left are based on cis white male privilege.
Yeah.
And Rhea Butcher, she basically hit the nail on the head. She said, we normalize Nazis before we normalize abortion.
We're dicks.
And by we mean Bernie
motherfucking Sanders.
So I just want to say, men, especially if you still support Bernie Sanders, I'm going to need you to push him to stop being such a dickwad.
Please.
And I need you to say that you are staunchly for pro-choice. No ifs and or buts.
Yeah. Because remember, the opposite of pro-choice is anti-choice.
Anti-choice.
Not pro-life. That's not a thing.
It's just so revealing that it's like, we can't be flexible at all on banks, but women's issues,
okay.
Literally go fuck yourself, Bernie. You guys, oh man, this is what this update and award was meant for. Weeks like these. So, you guys, like we always like to do on Thursday's show, we like to give our Maxine Waters update and then our award. So, Devin, first of all, what's Maxine been up to this week?
Oh.
So many things.
So, we say this every week that she's always on fire, but this week, she blew
herself out of the water.
Oh my god.
Okay, so a little bit of background, but I don't really want to talk about it because we're not talking about this asshole.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly is like the father of all dickwads.
Ugh.
And he's a damn ass fool. Mm-hmm. Because as R. Eric Thomas said in a new piece for Elle, you do not come for Maxine Waters, ever.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
So Bill O'Reilly made some fucking asshole comment about Maxine Waters' hair. I'm not going to go into it because it doesn't matter what
and
he
said. And then some other Fox News dickwad made like a crack joke, which is just so fucking like dog whistles and racism abound.
Right. And you're not even trying at this point. Like it's not even dog whistle.
You're not even trying
it's
to
just,
veil it.
It's just racism. R. Eric Thomas said, quote, "I'm writing about Congresswoman Waters because Bill O'Reilly, whoever that is, can't come for her. He wasn't sent for. His hairline doesn't have the range. She has 40 years of political receipts. He has tired racist dog whistles about her hair. Those are not equivalent. If he thinks he was reading her, he needs Hooked on Phonics."
You guys, this whole article is just brilliant because our Eric Thomas has a great column for Elle, and he often is covering Maxine Waters. I love, too, that all these interviews end up happening on Chris Hayes' show.
I know.
Like, Chris Hayes is just not prepared for her brilliance. He's really not.
So she went on Chris Hayes and didn't let him say three words. And then she just dressed down this whole debacle. She said, quote, "I am a strong black woman, and I cannot be intimidated. I cannot be undermined. I cannot be thought to be afraid of Bill O'Reilly or anybody."
It was so good. And then she basically was like, she knows that, like, cable news basically flows through, like, quote-unquote, like, these beefs or whatever.
Right.
Which, even though that doesn't even properly describe what happened.
Right.
Because, like, Bill O'Reilly was just being an asshole.
His hairline doesn't have the
range. She was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Yeah. I want to talk about Russia.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about the hashtag Kremlin Clan
and how this fool needs to be impeached immediately.
Impeachment, impeachment, impeachment.
Yeah. She's also, her Twitter feed is just a joy to be on.
Yeah.
You know, after this whole Bill O'Reilly nonsense, she tweeted, quote, "I am a strong black woman. I cannot be intimidated and I'm not going anywhere. Hashtag black women at work."
And as we mentioned before, the hashtag black women at work was started by the that activist because of what happened to April Ryan that morning. And then, like, not too long after, Maxine Waters.
Right, so, exactly.
It's just, I don't know, it goes back to Bernie motherfucking Sanders saying Democrats are weak and feeble. I'm like, have you listened to Maxine Waters ever?
Ever.
Maybe instead of shitting on all over Democrats, you can actually support your colleagues who are actually doing the bold work.
Actually working.
Which is what Maxine Waters does every week. This is why we have this update, because she is really, like, leading the charge on the Democratic side.
She doesn't give up. She has her eyes on the Russia prize, and she is just, you know, like I said, dressing down everyone who disagrees. See, one of her tweets this week was, quote, "Trump is hiding something. This is why he continues to lie and distract from investigations. The truth will be uncovered and he will be impeached."
You guys, I can't wait until he is knock on wood, impeached, and we can just go back and look at all the things Maxine said and, like, everything she foretold, because that's what she really is doing.
She's just speaking the truth. And then the last thing I want to say, one of her tweets was, she posted an article about Mulvaney saying that, quote, rotten Washington had won with the whole budget.
Is he the budget chief?
He's the budget chief. Mm-hmm. So he was basically saying, like, oh, we didn't get our way. Washington won.
Because of healthcare?
Because of healthcare. God. And then she said, she kind of quote tweeted this. She goes, note, Republicans control Washington.
Yes. She's like, you motherfuckers shit your own bed.
You shit your own bed. Go away.
Yeah. I love that. Anyway, another banner week for Maxine. Probably, I mean, I don't even know how to compare, but this week she really... it was just amazing.
She was amazing.
It's just, again, it is another reminder of how much black women, women of color, are just up against. They have to deal with this bullshit all the time. They shouldn't have to, and they continue to rise, I don't want to say above it, to just rise.
To just do it. They just do the work anyway.
They just do the work.
Okay, so, Sarah, it is time for everyone's favorite, the Maxine Waters Award in Badassery.
Yes, so, of course, we've got to give it up for Maxine herself.
Oh,
I mean, obviously.
I really just wanted to give it to her and just end it there, but...
But But April Ryan too. We're gonna give it to April Ryan. And if you guys don't know what happened, Sean Spicer was basically disrespecting the shit out of her, and she continued to do her job. And anyway, Sean Spicer can literally go fuck himself.
Yeah, that'd be him and Bernie Sanders can just like go off in a corner
go
somewhere.
Go fuck themselves. Someone on our Twitter said we should start calling Sean Spicer Spice Wad.
Spice Wad.
Yeah.
Is that like the sixth Spice Girl?
Yeah, God. The worst.
Waddy Spice.
Waddy Spice. But anyway. So April Ryan, just again, like, had to deal with some bullshit, mm-hmm. kept doing her job,
yep.
and we give it up to her. But we especially want to highlight Angela Rye,
yes,
who's a CNN commentator and a political strategist.
Mm-hmm.
She had apparently gotten into a Twitter exchange with Joe Walsh, who, if you guys know, is like one of the biggest asshats on Twitter. Like
he's horrible.
He's like super pro Trump. He has like literally the worst takes ever. I don't remember what they were talking about. I think it probably related to what they were talking about in the segment.
Yeah.
But basically, Joe Walsh, like, again, another fucking mediocre white guy at best. He said that the bar was, quote, lowered for Barack Obama.
Right. That the media coddled him.
Oh, my God.
Because they liked him so much.
Which is just a lie on so many levels. And right. Angela Rye's like, hi, why haven't the Trump administration, why haven't they produced his tax returns?
Yeah, exactly. And also,
he's unqualified. He's never, like, held a fucking government job.
Right.
Like, ever.
Right. And you know, and he was like, oh, well, you know, the media was so excited about our first black president that nothing else mattered. And so Jesus. Angela Rye called him a fucking racist.
Did she, like, right on air?
No. She called him a racist and a bigot. I added the fucking. I felt that it was implied.
Yeah. But and she reminded him. She's like, hi, you served like one term in Congress. Like,
yeah.
Obama was a state senator. He was a U.S. senator. He was a constitutional lawyer. Like, he has all these credentials. Like, and, you know, what I think she said that was really, really key, she said, I'm tired of people saying black people are beneath a standard when we have to be twice as good all the time.
Yeah. And she also said, you know, talking to the host of this program that she was on, she was like, you all decided to give Joe Walsh a platform today, and I am not giving him the time of day.
Yes, and that's another just issue with, I feel like, the news media in general, especially cable news. It's like, why do you have these, like, dickwad, like, surrogates on
right.
who don't add anything to the conversation? They actually, like, make us worse.
As a species.
And I loved what she also said. He said that Angela Rye wouldn't let him speak. And she said, are you going to say something while your mouth is moving?
And then she just, and her face through the whole thing just said, like, she is not here for this dickwad.
Nope,
not interested.
Again, another hashtag black woman at work who has to deal. And this, the person who started said, you know, like, every black woman has dealt with, like, 5 Sean Spicers and, like, 3 Joe Walshes.
Oh, absolutely.
Or 3 Bill O'Reillys.
Bill O'Reillys.
Probably 3 Joe Walshes, too. But, like, again.
Yeah, and I just also love that she didn't bat around the bush. Like, she called Walsh a bigot.
Mm-hmm.
She called him a troll.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, I'm not interested in talking to you.
And honestly, I feel like white people need to be doing that more, too.
Yes.
Like, again, we see so many fucking articles still, like, oh, don't call, like, Trump voters racist. It'll hurt their little feelings. Like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, like, fuck their feelings.
Literally, they wore shirts that said fuck their feelings. So you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you to fuck your feelings.
Like, am I hurting your feelings? Good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
Yeah. Shame is a powerful tool.
Yeah.
Maybe if you feel ashamed by what you've helped enable, then maybe you'll change your mind.
Yeah.
Although I don't have much...
No, that would require, like, a complex thought process.
Yeah. So anyway, Angela Rye and Maxine Waters and April Ryan, just, they all win it this week. They've all been amazing. And yeah, I mean,
they keep us going.
They really do. And again, it shouldn't be incumbent on black women or women of color to keep doing this work. But we salute them because it's just a banner week.
Yeah, absolutely. And Maxine Waters, if you ever hear this and you would like to get together and discuss Russia, call me.
We live in Los Angeles.
Like, I will literally go anywhere.
Maybe we should send an email to their press person. I'm sure they have tons of requests right now. So maybe we'll have to wait a little bit. But and if a Maxine Waters staffer is listening, call us.
Call us.
Or tweet us.
Okay, guys. So that was a
really packed show.
Again.
Again, always. Yeah. But, you know, we feel good about it. We'll have some extra Patreon content mm-hmm. for the stuff that we didn't get to, unfortunately, because we always have to cut something.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week. For more information on today's episode, please visit our website at www.hellbentpodcast.com. You'll find the articles we discussed as well as additional resources. You can follow us on Twitter at HellbentPod, and you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HellbentPodcast. You can follow Devin on Twitter at DevinHandy, and you can follow Sarah on Twitter at SarahLerner.
Please listen on iTunes and rate us 5 stars, because that's just like the rules of feminism. We also have a Patreon, and you can find us at patreon.com/HellbentPodcast. You can support us for as little as $1 a month, and for $5 a month, you get access to exclusive content, mini podcasts, and behind-the-scenes looks at the making of Hellbent. And there are lots of other fun rewards for higher levels of patronage, including a monthly Skype session with Devin and Sarah.
And for that one, drinking is optional.
Optional.
Quote unquote. Quote.